Well, hi, everybody. This is Vic Brown. I want to tell you, you're listening to the Phil Henry Show. Say, all the voices you hear on the Phil Henry Show, the guests, they're all done by Phil Henry. He doesn't do the voices of the Connors. That's what some people think. But Phil Henry does all the voices of all the guests on the Phil Henry Show. That's how good this guy is. You're listening to probably the most talented guy in radio, Phil Henry. Matter of fact, he's doing my voice right now. The reason why he does a voice like this, because all the jackasses he used to listen to on the radio to talk like this. So now, without further ado, probably the single most talented guy and most creative guy in radio, a great guy, and a guy that you like to see. What a guy. Phil Henry.
1-800-449-8686. So Lloyd, it's Phil Henry Show. Lloyd, your name's Lloyd, right?
Yes, sir. Lloyd Bonafide, Phil.
Right, you're a Korean War veteran.
Yes, sir, I am.
So you fought the Chinese in Korea.
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, now, the story, the latest on this, in a standoff emerging as the biggest foreign policy test of his young administration, President Bush demanded on Monday that Beijing grant immediate U.S. access to the crew of a Navy spy plane forced to land in China after colliding with a Chinese fighter jet.
And well, now let me say something about that, Phil, because...
All right, I got to finish the story here, though, Lloyd, because I want to find it. It's the Navy EP-3 Maritime Patrol plane, and he demanded the Chinese return it without any further tampering, revealing U.S. concern over the possibility the plane's classified surveillance technology has fallen into Chinese hands. Now, you're a Korean War veteran. You fought the red, what you called the Red Chinese. I like that interesting anachronistic phrase.
First of all, I want to say these fellas that put it down to mainland China, I don't think were Navy pilots. No Navy pilot would be so reckless and have such disregard for the military code of conduct and the country he defends as to set it down in hostile enemy Red Chinese territory. And I say this with the greatest of respect for our brothers in the Air Force, but the whole thing sounds like a snafu. I think it's a big foul-up. And I serve my country.
All right, well, you don't think the Navy did it. The government is saying they were Navy pilots.
I don't believe they're Navy pilots. I don't believe any Navy pilot would land in hostile Red Chinese territory. I will tell you this. When I was in the United States Navy, I was not a pilot. I was a crewman aboard a U.S. destroyer. But I would rather ditch the plane in the South China Sea and make for Taiwan by way of life raft than to even allow myself to fall into the Red Chinese hands.
And this guy apparently...
I serve my country proudly, and I would rather ditch it in the South China Sea, all right? Because those Red Chinese will lay their hands on either the crewman or the top-secret, high-security American military hardware. These people are godless because we fought them in Korea. And once again, they've got their hands on American hardware. And I would rather die, sir.
All right, hold on for a minute. You're saying this guy should have ditched the plane, whoever the captain or the pilot is.
That's correct.
Should have ditched the plane in the ocean rather than land at an air base.
Absolutely. I think any American serviceman, any member of the United States military, would rather die in the explosion of his aircraft than have to land in Red Chinese hostile sovereign territory. Now, our new President Bush...
There's 24 guys who are on board that plane.
Huh?
There were 24 men and women on board that aircraft, 24 crewmen taken into custody by the Chinese. You're going to be killing 24 people.
And if you're a skilled pilot, you can set it down and make for Taiwan. And
what do you mean set it down?
What I'm saying is, if you're a skilled pilot, the EP-3 could be ditched. You make for Taiwan in the life raft and take your chances on the beach there. But in no way and under no circumstances do I let the Red Chinese get a hold of this aircraft, which is sophisticated, high-security, military intelligence hardware.
There's 24 crewmen on board, the lives of 24 guys. The captain had no choice but to land in China, according to the government.
Well, Phil, when you join the military, you join with the understanding you may have to give your life for your country. Now, my 19-year-old Can I give you an example of what I'm talking about?
Well, if you're giving your life for your country, that's one thing. But if there's a chance that you can save...
Can I give you the example of my 19-year-old son, Billy, 1971. He's with the United States Army near Da Nang. There was an offensive by the NVA, North Vietnamese Army. They had repelled the initial assault, and now he did something so stupid. He threw himself on a hand grenade to save the lives of six other guys in his squad. Now, that dumbass kills himself, and these other jokers live, even though they signed up knowing they could die in combat. These six jokers let that dumbass son of mine fall on a hand grenade, and that dumbass goes ahead and dies, and all he had left was 30 days in a wake-up. And I will forget. I think about my son Billy, and what a dumbass he was.
Wait a minute. He fell on a hand grenade and saved the lives of six guys.
Right. Six men who had signed up with the expressed understanding that when you sign up in the military, you could lose your life. Now, I say that if I'm piloting that EP spy plane...
Here's the thing. That's a spy plane, and I don't know what territory they were over when they bumped into that Chinese fighter jet. The fighter jet, the Chinese jet, crashed. These guys are in a plane, obviously, spying on the Chinese. Okay.
I don't care what they were doing. I don't set it down, and I think the guy that landed in mainland China, it's very difficult for me to say. I think he's gutless.
And I think that's harsh.
Well, it may be harsh, but no gutless son of a bee is going to make me sit in front of a red Chinese godless son of a bee and give up according to the military code of conduct. Now, I will not do that under the duress of torture. And you know that these godless bastards are torturing these boys, and may God have mercy on them.
You know what? I got to tell you something, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think the Chinese are going to be torturing anybody. I don't think that I think that country's come a little bit further than that. And I think that...
Well, what do you know about it? I fought the Chinese.
In Korea, I understand. Well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Where'd you get this old guy? He calls in and he wants to talk about that Navy spy plane that was shot down. And he says that he would... Lloyd, you would die rather than let the Chinese get you.
Huh?
You said to me you'd die. You'd rather crash the plane than let the red Chinese get you.
I would rather ditch in the South China Sea and make for Taiwan by way of lifeboat.
But what if you crashed the plane in the ocean and you died?
Well, it's a lot better than letting the red Chinese get their GD hands on me and God knows what, because everybody knows any man, or woman for that matter, under the right amount of torture is going to spill his guts. I would rather ditch, make for Taiwan by way of lifeboat, take my chances on the Taiwanese coast, hope to be picked up by Coast Guard, that allow these GD bastard, the red Chinese, God, I hate them, and torture me.
Would you really think the Chinese would torture you?
Look at that. They'd have them buried up to their heads in hot sand and putting burning bamboo in their ears. They'd probably have cages on their heads where they release hungry rats into the cages.
You really think that kind of stuff is going on still in the world, especially with a country that is entering first world status like China?
Huh?
You think the Chinese have got cages on these guys' heads with rats in them?
I wouldn't put it past them. I think these godless sons of bees are the worst, and they're still the communists. Don't make any mistake about it. The red Chinese they want to wipe out America and the democratic institutions thereof. I'd ditch in the Red China Sea and make way for
Taiwan by way of lifeboat and take your chances on the beach. I got it. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show. Never mind. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. This guy says he never would have landed in China. He would have taken his chances ditching in the ocean because anybody that turns a plane over to the Chinese is gutless. I think this guy who was captaining this plane was just doing what he had to do. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. If you haven't heard, a United States spy plane, an EP-3 Navy spy plane, ran into a Chinese fighter jet somewhere near China and was forced to make an emergency landing on Chinese soil. The Chinese now have the crewmen in custody, American soldiers, American crewmen of this Navy plane. The Chinese fighter crashed. We have a Korean War veteran with some experience in fighting the Chinese in war. And you made an interesting comment. You said that every man, first of all, you would have died before you let that plane land in Chinese territory.
Every man under the military code of conduct knows you do not turn over that military hardware to the Red Chinese, and you certainly don't just. I would have crashed it into a mountain. I would have drowned myself on purpose, or otherwise murdered myself rather than let the Chinese get it. Now I'll make you one other point. My dumbass son, who is...
Now, this is the boy, your son. He was 19. He jumped on a hand grenade?
Near Da Nang, South Vietnam, yes, sir. October 1971.
How do you call him a dumbass?
Look, this idiot should have been in the Air Force. He was so stupid. Just like the idiot Air Force that landed at Red China. What you do is...
Yeah, but he saved these guys' lives.
Mr. Henry, you don't hear me. It is your duty to recognize that you must die for your country. That dumbass of mine robbed five guys.
Doesn't it make you sad that your son fell on a grenade and saved the lives of six men? Doesn't it make you feel sad that your boy...
Sad pisses me off is what I'm trying to tell you. This dumb, you know, and I won't use the word dumbass, but this dumb, stupid son of a bee jumps on a hand grenade. Those six guys should have died for their country, not let this... And dumb boy goes ahead and says, oh, you guys don't have to die. I'll go ahead and jump on the grenade. What a dumbass. And then it...
Boy, it just seems to me, man, that, like, you know, your son did a brave thing.
Oh, baloney. My boy was the... I loved him dearly. He was stupid as the day is long, as dumb as a handful of dirt, and twice as ugly. And this stupid SOB lands on a hand grenade for what? That's what you join the military. You know you're going to die for your country.
Well, you know what? I was never in the military, and I was never in the military. I don't know the culture. I guess if that's what it is, then I'm not the guy. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show here, talking to Lloyd Bonafide. He's a Korean War veteran, and he's giving us a lowdown, at least, on the Chinese capture of a Navy spy plane, a plane that you say the crew should have ditched in the ocean rather than give it to the Chinese. Want to take some phone calls, Lloyd?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to talk to the people about this. I've got some limited experience having fought in Korea.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Woody on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Good.
I think this guy's so full of it, I can hardly believe it.
I'm full of it.
Yeah, you don't take an aircraft, you as a pilot, and you got 23 people aboard the plane and ditch the thing in the South
China
Sea.
Military code of conduct.
Military
code of conduct says you take every measure to escape the enemy, and you certainly don't turn over hardware that is sophisticated, high security like that to the Red Chinese.
Absolutely correct. That's right, during wartime. I was on the same aircraft, worked for the same equipment, and there was no conduct.
Were you on EP? You were on the EP spy plane, Woody?
That's right. We had the same
equipment.
Oh, baloney! Baloney me!
Baloney! You were on a Navy, Navy flyer.
That aircraft is 40 years old. They've had that same aircraft for 40 years. The equipment is rather new, some of it, but the thing about it is there's no way.
The Chinese don't know anything about it.
Wait a minute. If it's 40 years old, I bet you the Chinese have got every blueprint that was ever made of this thing.
As far as the airplane is concerned, I'm sure they do. They probably made it 50 times.
They don't have it. They don't. They're confused by it. How do you know?
40-year-old plane? They probably got 50 of them.
That's probably so.
Both of you guys. You see, this is the problem. So, in other words, Woody, if you and I were on that EP-3 and I say, let's ditch it, make for Taiwan by way of lifeboat, you'd say, no, let's land on the Chinese coast.
I would say definitely we're going to land on the Chinese coast. We're going to get out of this plane safe.
Well, then, mister, you and I'd have a fist fight going on board that plane, airborne at 25,000 feet.
Oh, come on.
If it was 1953 and we were in Korea or something and the war was going on, it'd be a different story. But this is 2001. And this is not a war going on, and there's no code of conduct that says supposed to fix my aircraft and kill all the people aboard the plane.
All right, Woody, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. That's a guy who fly to the...
Oh, baloney, he didn't fly at anything. And I tell you, to call somebody a hero who lands in China, even if he had 23 other people aboard, is a disgrace. A hero would have gone down with that plane and taken the secrets with him. You go down with the plane, you take everyone with you. That's standard military code of conduct. And taking the secrets with you.
The secrets. It's a 40-year-old plane. The
Chinese are... First of all, the Chinese, because of their occluded eyelid, have a very difficult time reading code, especially blueprint code.
And I don't understand.
Because of the eyelid, because of the occluded eye vision of the Chinese.
And they can't read blueprints.
They have a more difficult time, yes, sir. By the time they figure it out, it's too late. We've got a new one. You find a large body of water, nose down, take your chances. You put your trust in the Lord.
All right, Leslie on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering how this man can repeatedly call his son a dumbass when he saved 6 people's lives.
I beg your pardon, ma'am. I beg your pardon?
Leslie, can you hear him? He's asking you to repeat yourself. Okay, she's not there at all. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Dave on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. The gentleman you got on the line there, he's 100% right about the airplane. The airplane should not have been delivered into the enemy's hands. But it concerns me the way he talks about his son. His son's a hero. His son did the right thing.
Huh?
His son did the same thing the other 6 guys should have done.
Now, wait a second.
But there was only one hand grenade, you know?
Well, wait a second. This dumbbell falls on a grenade and robs those 6. First of all, he gets his ass blown up, okay? And what about those other guys dying?
Well, you know, Dad, he did what you raised him to do. You done a good job raising him.
Wait a second, Dave. I didn't raise that dumbass to fall on a hand grenade. Are you kidding me? I didn't do it. And you can laugh all you want. I didn't raise that dumb son of a bee to fall on a hand grenade. And
why do you keep calling him a dumb son of a bee? I mean, doesn't...
Look at, you know, first of all, my son is my business. He brought shame on me and the whole country by what he did, and that is very...
You really think by saving the lives of 6 men, he brought shame on the country?
I believe my son delivered shame to the United States Army. Those 6 morons that he... First of all, he was in a squad, the dumbest sons of bees you ever... This whole platoon that he was in, these guys couldn't find it with both hands and a flashlight. And a
dumb platoon.
Huh?
They were stupid.
Oh, the guys my boy was in the Army with were stupid. And it proves it because here comes an NVA hand grenade and dumbass falls on it. And his mother and I, you know, every time I walk by his picture on our mantle, I just got to shake my head and laugh to myself, you know?
Well, to me, the guy's a hero.
You read too many comic books. You watch too many.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Look, you know what? Whatever, man. If you want to feel bad about your kid saving lives. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Got a question for Lloyd. Lloyd,
he got himself
know...
drafted. Then he got himself in a situation where he had to land on a live grenade.
Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, sir. Who's this?
This is Mike. Now, I want to know, you're talking about a code of honor where this pilot should have ditched the plane.
You better believe it.
All right. And for his country and for everything this country stands for, and yet your boy jumps on a grenade for his country and everything this country stands
for,
he called him a dumbass.
No, he did not jump on the grenade for his country. The dumbass just jumped on the grenade.
Countrymen, isn't that what all service military people want to do?
I don't believe. No, what are you talking about? We're saving the hardware. We're not saving lives when you ditch the plane. And when dumbass falls on a grenade, I don't know what he was doing.
If you don't have any lives, you don't
Why
have
do you
anybody
suppose,
to operate the hardware.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose he fell on the grenade?
He just dropped on it because he didn't think it would hurt him. See what I'm saying, Michael? What a dumbass. Okay, so that's...
He didn't think the hand grenade would hurt him.
I honestly don't believe that my son knew what he was doing. But the reason why he jumped on the hand grenade isn't because he cared about those 6 guys. They were 6 of the ugliest, dumbest SOBs. I just think he tripped and fell. I think he tripped on a route and fell on the hand grenade, blew himself into 20 pieces. Do you know that we kept getting him in the mail for about 3 months? Here's another piece of your son. And here's another piece of...
Oh, my God.
That's right. That's the United States Army for you.
All right, 1-800-449-8... Here's another piece. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Hundred 449 8686. Phil Henry Show. We're talking to a Lloyd Bonafide, who is a Korean War veteran, and you've repeatedly said that your son was a dumbass for getting throwing himself on a hand grenade. And
look, in my family, we don't watch all those war movies where you know the whole idea of the war is to get over there, you try to get the enemy, and then you get out of there. You see what I'm saying? So, and you don't fall on a hand grenade like a dumbass.
Okay, this is your son, a dumbass.
Look, I love him. I love him very much. But I'm telling you, Phil, if you met him, you would have said to yourself, this is about the stupidest guy I've ever met in my life. Literally, he'd go out and say, and I would say to him, son, you see this? This is called a day. I would say, this is a day, and when the sun went down, I'd say, now, this is called night. He didn't get it. Dumb? Wow!
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me get some phone calls up here. Rick, you're on the Phil Henry Show. We are talking about this Chinese, the incident involving the spy plane. Rick, go ahead.
Well, first of all, as far as the spy plane goes, we're not at war with China. And I don't think they needed to ditch a 40-year-old plane and kill 23 people.
Huh?
That's not the question. If we were at war in 1953, then yeah.
Somebody else already made that point, but he was a veteran. Are you?
Well, that's my point.
Well, you just got that point from the guy that called in. What's your point?
My point is, first of all, you're the dumbass. Anybody that would talk about their son like you have has got to be a dumbass.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about dumbest. This kid
now,
was...
Wait. If your son had not thrown himself on that grenade and it had gone off, would it have probably not killed all of them?
Here's another idea for you. Why didn't they get their butts out of there? I'm not going to answer the question. I've been in combat.
You haven't been in combat. You were there.
I've been in combat. You haven't.
You get your butt out of there.
You don't fall on it.
You were not with your son when it happened.
Let me tell you, how can you judge
what he did?
I know why he fell on it. He's dumb.
You weren't there.
Okay, thanks for calling. You keep making the same point here as Tom on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
He's a dumbass.
We got that. You keep making the same point, too. Tom.
Yes, this is Tom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Lloyd, just for the record, I am a veteran. I was a veteran of Vietnam.
Well,
I served as a flyby.
Thank God.
I also flew reconnaissance airplanes. The airplane I flew was the OV-1 Mohawk. It was classified top secret.
I know it was.
I flew in North Vietnam and Laos.
Right.
We were not given any specific instructions on what to do with the airplane in the event it became incapacitated in enemy territory.
Fly Navy?
All right.
You fly Navy?
No, I flew Army.
Well, there you go.
All right.
That's the Army for you.
The point is, there are procedures to follow to destroy sensitive material, to keep it out of the hands of the enemy.
That's what I've been trying to tell these dumbasses that are calling in.
Yeah, you see, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're talking out your ass, pardon my friend.
I'm talking out of my ass. I know that the Red Chinese would take a highly sophisticated piece of espionage equipment and they'd monkey around with it for a while till they figured it out.
In the first place, you're assuming that they got it all in one piece. Like I said, there are procedures for disabling sensitive equipment in the event that the airplane is going to be taken by hostile countries.
Well,
there's a good possibility, I don't know for sure, but there's a good possibility all sensitive material on the airplane was damaged. If you can get rid of the sensitive material, why sacrifice your life for it?
What about this dumbbell kid of mine throwing himself on a hand grenade?
Let me ask you a question.
I can't get
can ask you a question?
If he'd been flying that plane today, he would have landed that thing in downtown.
Can I ask you a question?
Huh?
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Did your dumbbell son get a ribbon for throwing himself on that grenade?
Well, they were mailing him back in 16 different pieces. I don't know.
Answer the question. Did he get a ribbon?
Did he get a ribbon or no?
Oh, sure. They give out those deals.
Okay.
Yeah, he got
so
a...
So your country, the country you fought so hard to defend, honors your son as a hero. What ribbons do you have?
My son, I served in country in
what,
Korea.
What ribbons do you have?
I served in country... Well, I got a Purple Heart.
Okay.
Now,
you got a Purple Heart. You know what that means? That means you're a dumbass because you stood up and got shot by somebody.
No, some other dumbass rolled ordnance on my foot and blew half my foot off.
So you took a Purple Heart under false pretenses.
I'll tell you what ribbons were. Some of the pieces they mailed my kid back in were wrapped up in ribbons, but I didn't really care at the time. Now my son. My kid Billy didn't know enough to take the rest of these idiots with him, so that when they were captured, they couldn't give away secrets to the enemy. Now the six idiots are alive, and they can turn over secrets to the North Vietnamese. Do you think that's smart? I call that dumb.
Yeah, but see, you don't have any right to talk, all right? You have
You're
no right to talk.
You had half your foot blown off.
Blew hell out of my big toe.
Yeah.
And what?
Because you were an idiot because you let somebody else do it. You didn't even have the guts to stand up and get wounded by an enemy. You got to get wounded by friendlies. And you call your son a dumbass.
Yeah, I got up that morning. Look, huh? He saved six guys who could have turned over secrets of the military to the Chinese. And
we're talking about the Vietnam War.
He also saved six guys that could have probably killed 16 or 20 of the enemy and ended the war.
Wait a second. You're walking around one day. You're having a good time. You're smoking a cigarette. You're drinking a beer. Next thing you know, you fall on a hand grenade. How stupid is that? One minute you're having a Marlboro Light and drinking a beer and maybe even having some poontang, and the next minute you blow yourself up and you call that smart? Oh, man.
I don't know where you come from, but I think the rest of us,
I think we're all
wasting our time with you.
Yeah.
I think you need to be off the air and let some people with some sense talk.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your call. Do you understand what people are trying to say to you?
Huh?
Yes, sir. Do you understand what people are trying to say to you?
Look, have you ever seen combat, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I saw about six episodes.
Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that funny? You know, you dishonor me, you disrespect all veterans when you answer a question like that.
No, I've never been to combat.
And you don't know. And I'll tell you, I would far rather be drinking a beer than all blowed up. And my boy blowed himself up. What a dumbbell. God. And I look at that picture and I go, you know, you could be here sucking a beer. Maybe chase a little tail, getting your weasel greased. Next thing you know, dumbbell blowed up.
Sandra, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know how could he call himself a father to dishonor his son like that?
Dishonoring my son?
Dishonoring your son's name.
I loved him.
How can you say that? How can you call yourself an American when he's sitting there and he gave his life for six people?
Yeah. Sandra, hold on. We can barely hear you. Are you on a car phone of some kind?
No, I'm not on a car phone.
Oh, then you're going to have to back off the phone or something because it's like you're shouting into it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is
okay.
That better? Look, my son, I just said to the other guy, one day he's got himself a little quiff in the downtown Saigon hotel. Next minute, he's blowed up.
That has nothing to do with it. He gave his life for six other people to live. And that was honorable.
And if
it doesn't matter if he saved a plane or not. That doesn't matter. He saved six other people's lives, and you should have honor for him.
Six other guys that could have turned over secrets to the Red Chinese. You think that's smart?
Well, how do you know they weren't six other guys that, helped end the war?
We lost that war. Let me tell you something. It's a good thing. You know, the only hope we got about this plane that landed over there in China is the Chinese can't read those blueprints because they're occluded eyes. Now, they've got the heavy lid, which makes it difficult for them that...
What is this, some kind of quasi-science?
No, to me, you're not a father to get on the radio and badmouth your son. I have a son. If my son...
Oh, you never yelled at your son?
Him.
You never told your son that he was dumb?
Never.
You never? He probably pulled the short... I don't think my son was a hero. I don't think my son was a hero. I think he pulled the short straw. He's a dumbbell.
You are a stupid, ignorant man, is what you are.
You just called me stupid. I bet you called your son stupid, too.
I have never called my son stupid. I am proud of everything my son does.
Well, I can't think much of any woman who buys a car phone like the one you got. No, sir, I can't.
Well, you are stupid, ignorant. ignorant person. Well, I have no more to say to you because you got no liquor sense.
Well, you said more to me.
Well,
I can't believe even if you had more to say to me, I wouldn't be able to understand you because of that cheap football phone you're on.
Okay.
Football phone.
You're on a cheap ass football phone.
You know what? You have no sense to sit there and cuss people and talk the way you do because you got no sense.
Ma'am, I fought
for
grit.
The son of your son.
Ma'am,
when
I fought
for grit. Got a medal for doing what he did.
He got a medal for being dumb.
Man.
He got the dumbbell medal. He got the DM, which is the dumbbell medal. And I fought in Korea so that you wouldn't have to talk into a phone made out of a Dixie cup and a thread. But I see you didn't get the memo. And I guess you hung up. Could you put your mouth away from the receiver? You remember that. Mouth off of.
Okay. 1-800-449-86. Didn't get the memo. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Barbara Streisand has memoed other top Democrats, calling President Bush a destructive man. Singing legend Barbara Streisand on Monday fired off a blistering three-page memo to top Democrats in Washington, calling for a strong strategic target offensive against the Republican Revolution. This is not the time to be weak, Streisand writes in the memo titled Nice Guys Finish Last, sent last week to several dozen top Democratic legislators and released to media outlets Monday through her publicist. Unless we win, we'll be consistently on the defensive with our fingers holding the dike against the resurgence of the far right. Blah, 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 blah. Sincerely, Barbara Streisand. Well, there you go. So, you know, I'm there, man. I'm with you. I think she could make a concerted and very serious run for the White House. Okay, who's with me? Come on, let's go. Hey. That's all we need as Democrats. Let's run Barbara for president. Now we're really talking. That'll get us invited to a lot more parties. That'll have people say, you know, now people say, you Democrat? Yeah. They won't do that then. Start small, though, Barbs. I think maybe dog catcher. And, of course, you should turn yourself in first. I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. How many actors have we elected to office? I'm just curious. How many entertainers/actors? I remember as a kid we elected George Murphy as a senator, and George Murphy was a dancer. I don't know if you know who George Murphy is. You guys who are big fans of old movies. George Murphy used to do the song and dance thing. He did tap dancing and all that. And, oh, she signed it Barbara, just like her name is Cher or Farrah. She didn't sign it Barbara Streisand, just Barbara. I'm just getting the news now. Just the news is coming in now. Barbara Streisand signed her memo Barbara. It wasn't Cher. It wasn't Farrah. And it sure ain't Sonny. So, anyway, she's Barbara. And that's B-A-B-R-A to you. Thank you very much. Did I tell you one time I had a opportunity? I used to work for Westwood One. And that's why it took me so long to unbury my career. I was with those guys for 10 years. But anyway, I did a Barbara Streisand, and I say Streisand special because I made the mistake in this special. It was a recorded presentation of her music that would precede the release of Yentl. You've never seen anything more orchestrated in your life. We did this radio special about her life and about her music that would be released to the radio stations in advance of the release of the film Yentl. And I did this thing, and I called her Barbara Streisand. I butchered it, you know. To say that I sucked in those days doesn't quite tell the whole story. I sucked, and I knew it. Today, I may suck, but I love my gig, and I, you know, frankly, I think I'm funny, so that's all I need. But in those days, it was horrible. But anyway, when I was only working 2 days a week and getting paid like I was working a full-time job, I was lazy, and also I drank. So the name Barbara Streisand. And I said, Barbara Streisand. Apparently she had a conniption fit and we had to recut the whole bloody show because I didn't pronounce her name right. How about that? How about somebody getting upset because I mispronounced their name? Why, some guy just the other day was on the radio talking about the Phil Hendry show. Didn't bother me. I had a lady call me up the other day and she said, hi, this is Lincoln Mercury calling. Is this Mr. Hendry? It's Mr. Hendry.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Hello, sir. This is the shop. Is this Mr. Hendry? We have your car ready and...
It's Hendry.
Okay, Mr. Hendry.
That's like the...
Is this Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, this is Hen.
How you doing, Hen? Listen, Mr. Dry.
So anyway, I had a gym teacher in school. This guy, P.J. Duffy Lewis. Long may he, wherever the hell he is. And this cat delighted in butchering your name six ways to sunset. He loved it. And if you corrected him, he'd butcher your name up even more. So there we are, a bunch of freshmen, you know, we're sitting there in gym class. And he walked out there with the big gut and the big black pullover kind of shirt that the coaches wear with the gray slacks and those big clodhopper shoes and the whistle around the neck. And he'd call roll. And we had different guys in the class, Mr. Butcher. And from the top tier, the kid would go, oh, that's Boucher, Mr. Lewis. Butcher. Mr. Hendry. Yes, sir, that's Mr. Hendry, Mr. Lewis. Hendry. So it didn't matter, you know. Guy's name is Fry. He called him Frey. Guy's name is Hendry. It's Andre. Guy's name is Kraus. It's Schickelgruber. It didn't matter. Mr. Schickelgruber. It's Kraus. Schickelgruber. He would just dig it back in. You know, he'd just say it again just to push it right back in. So it's funny, and, you know, I guess that was their way of teaching us don't talk back to your elders, and they'll butcher your name six ways to sunset. And, of course, he came out there one day, and he had a desk, and it was one of the desks from class. Well, somebody had inscribed on the back, like carved into the back, because Mr. Lewis was in charge of us getting our hair cut. He was the dean of discipline. In those days, you had to have short hair, so he says, you guys go get your haircuts. Well, somebody had carved into the back of a desk, Lewis plus haircuts suck and the F word. And he had that desk. He says, now you men, a lot of you men suffer from the Chinese itch. And I don't know what the Chinese itch is, but apparently it's wearing a 5-day-old jock strap that you hadn't washed. But the one he liked was Egyptian fever. That was when the lead in when the iron in your blood turns to lead and settles in your rear end. That's Egyptian fever. So anyway, we had to stay after and scrub these desks because some guy put. And then there was another guy named Mr. Hayes. Hayes walked around with his hands at lunchtime with his hands deep in his pockets, like shoved really deep in his pockets. And he would walk around kind of stiff-legged. So somebody had carved into this desk, Hayes has a joy hole in his pocket. And then another one was carved in, Mr. Hayes plays pocket pool. So in any event, we had to stay after for like 3 hours scrubbing down every desk in the school, this class, because not so much that was carved into the desk, but we were all laughing as he was reading this stuff off. Well, I can now tell you, because it's been 30 plus years since that happened, I was the guy who carved that stuff into the back of that desk. I want to apologize to my classmates. All had to stay after and scrub down those desks. But you don't think for one second that I was going to volunteer my time for scrubbing that crap off.
Mr. Hendry E?
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, sir. Your car's ready.
Okay, so how much money did we make this weekend, Mike? About $8,000. Very nice group of people came out. I got to tell you something. The Phil Hendry Show, such as it is, for whatever female groupies we have, we've got the strangest women. I mean, we've got some very nice ladies that listen to our show. But the groupies that we get out there, did you get a load of those two women that were, like, off to the left? One of them was a very interesting-looking African-American woman. Another one with long, dark red hair and, like, shades on, like kind of like a red-headed Elvira, and they were just staring at me through the whole thing. And I said, oh, it's Maria. She took the shades off. I recognized one of them was my wife. But still, it's scary. 1-800-449-8686. I married her, and I love her, but still, she scares me. I'm Phil Hendry.